Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Dr. DeWitt Jones, Chairman Emeritus of the Division of Speech Communication at BJU. The title of his message is The Character and Commitment of Ruth and Boaz. The text is from the Book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 14 through 18.
For a number of years, I taught a course in our division called The Christian Communicator. And it was a course that was designed for seniors. And as they finished that major, the goal was to help them develop a biblical philosophy of communication. And we asked them to look at three particular areas: general communication, communication in the business realm, and also communication in the home. And I asked them to go to Scripture and find verses that would relate to each of those areas as they sought to develop their own personal philosophy. But in addition to finding specific verses, they also had to relate experiences or observations involved in each of those areas. After they did the research, they wrote a brief paper dealing with that. And then in class, they would present an oral report. And from in the report, they would select from what they had done and only present parts of it in class. Consistently, I found that the section on the home was one that was presented in class. And consistently, I found myself strongly emotionally moved by the comments that I heard from these students regarding their homes. Sometimes I was moved to tears as I heard them talk about the suicide of a father or a mother. Or I heard them talk about a mom or a dad who just walked out. Or they talked about the difficulties they had experienced because of divorce. And other times I was very emotionally moved as I heard the other side of that, and students talked about their ideal home and the joys of growing up in their home and how they could talk to their mom or their dad about anything. And I would frequently find tears in my eyes as I thought, wow, I wish I could have been a dad like that. Last month, my wife and I went to, four or five weddings of former students, colleagues. They were beautiful affairs. But according to the most recent data from the Barna Research Group, a Christian research organization, at least one of those couples won't make it. I hope I'm wrong. I pray I'm wrong. But according to the statistics, 1/4 of all marriages by born-again evangelical Christians will end in divorce. That is a tragic figure. It is at least a little better than the overall statistic, which is about 33% now. A few years ago, it was almost exactly the same for the secular world and for the born-again Christian world. That ought not to be. Sometimes we want to blame this rate of divorce on our culture. The challenges that you as young people face as you go out and form your homes, get married. But let me suggest this morning, the problem is not in our culture, it's in ourselves. The Scriptures do not instruct us to go out to change our culture. The Scriptures teach us that we ought to go into an ungodly culture to be shining lights in that dark world. And this morning, I want to look at a story of love and beauty set against a sharp background of darkness. It is the story of Ruth and Boaz. So you can go ahead and turn to the book of Ruth. It is set during the time of the Judges, one of the most decadent and ungodly periods in Israel's history. We're told it was a period when everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. In other words, a period much like our own. In the midst of all of that darkness, I want us to see two people of character and commitment brought together by God into a loving marriage. When we look at the book of Ruth, there are lots of ways of looking at it, and we can look at it as a tremendous story of God's grace in redeeming Ruth, the Moabitess, and bringing her into the camp of Israel. We can also look at it as a picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. But this morning, I want us simply to look at this as two people who lived, loved, married, and had children, whose descendants were David and, according to the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want us to look at something of the character of these people that God brought together in this book. And since you know the story so well, we're just going to look at a few key verses this morning, starting in chapter 1, and probably the most familiar verses in all of the book of Ruth, and perhaps in a lot of Scripture. Verse 14, and this is speaking here of Orpah and Ruth. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. She said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Over to verse 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and the full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And then over to chapter 3 and verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a woman nearer than I. And then into chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place ye are witnesses this day. I want to look at two key aspects that we find with Ruth and Boaz, that is, character and commitment. With Ruth, we find, first of all, that commitment. Commitment to God. What a strong expression we have in chapter 1 and verse 16, and I love the way it appears here in the King James, thy God, my God. Wow, what a statement that she is making. Thy God, my God. Now remember, Ruth is a Moabitess. The Moabite people were under a curse from God. They had been the enemy of the nation of Israel. Israel, in fact, was forbidden to take wives of the children of Moab. So, in fact, when Elimelech and Naomi had gone into Moab, and then their sons took wives, they were doing so in direct disobedience to God. But in spite of that disobedience, there was still something there that Ruth saw in the lives of her husband, her father-in-law, and her mother-in-law. And in that foreign land, she saw something of God radiating out of their lives, so that she could say at this point, I want your God to be my God. Let me just make one application here and ask the people that you associate with, the people that you work with, the people that you do things with, did they have that response? Did they look at you and say, the God that you worship, the God that you serve, what I see in your life, that's the kind of God that I want to know. I want to know God in the same way that you know God. We're told here that Orpah went back at the urging of Naomi. But Ruth makes a verbal commitment and a behavioral commitment. It's very easy sometimes to make a verbal commitment. A lot of people have done that under strong emotion. And this was an emotional moment. But for Ruth, there is the strong verbal statement here of what I am going to do. I am going to cleave unto you. Where you die, I will die. Where you live, I'm going to live. Your people will become my people. And that's not a difficult thing to happen, because remember here the cultural differences. She is a daughter of Moab. She is going to Israel, a place where the daughters of Moab were despised. And she says, in spite of the cultural differences, I'm going to go and I'm going to stay with you and I'm going to make your people my people. And she acts upon what she said. She departs completely from her past. And we find in this passage, we find with Boaz what we read a moment ago. Boaz says, you've left your family, you've left your home, you've left your people, you have left everything to identify yourself with the people of God. That's a strong statement of commitment. But not only was it a commitment to God, it was a commitment to Naomi. It is a selfless commitment. And remember what Naomi tells her. Naomi says, why come with me? If you come with me, there's no future for you. There's no wedding that's going to take place in Judah. You're abandoning any hope that you might have of another husband. Go back to your father's house, go back home, establish a life there. I'm really not sure why Naomi says that, because basically she says, you know, it's going back to your gods. I don't understand her. But nevertheless, fortunately, Ruth doesn't listen to her in this case. And we're told by Boaz that Ruth had been taking care of Naomi. And in fact, Naomi says this earlier. She makes reference to the kind treatment that she has received from both Ruth and Orpah. And now Ruth says, I'm going to continue that. I have a responsibility to you, and I'm going to fulfill that responsibility. Note that she was not looking out for number one. Commitment. And that kind of commitment is what it takes for successful marriage. But her commitment also to Boaz, we didn't really read about it, but over in chapter 3, she makes a commitment in going to him on the threshing floor and placing herself under his protection and under his care. She made herself vulnerable to Boaz. She was committing herself to his character and integrity. Commitment, that's what my kids used to call the big C word. How important and how crucial that is in every relationship. Every marriage relationship is going to have pressures toward deterioration. There are going to be those elements that are there that are going to try to pull that relationship apart. And unfortunately, I've seen that happen with couples that I thought were ideal couples. here at the university, and I watched them as they went through the university, and then as they got married, and I thought, wow, what a wonderful couple, ideally suited to go out and serve the Lord. And 3 or 4 years later, I hear that they're breaking up. Pressures in every relationship, but the key is how you're going to deal with the pressures when they come. And it's the commitment that's going to get through those pressures. That we, and that's plural, we are committed to this relationship, and we're going to work through those pressures toward deterioration. Let me tell you the story of the Williams family. The book called Rekindled. It tells the story of her. She was Miss Everything in college. Beautiful, talented, smart, dedicated Christian. And somehow she got through college unmarried. And her friends then were looking for someone to introduce to her that would be an ideal companion. And eventually she met this young man. And over a short period of time, they fell in love. He was, again, a committed Christian, talented individual, and just happened to be the general manager for the Philadelphia 76ers at that time. They were very active in the Christian realm, going to conferences, youth retreats, activities, singing, speaking, doing all of these things. Children came into their lives. And then one day, after church, standing in the kitchen, she looked at him and said, "I don't love you anymore." He described that moment as one in which it were if someone had taken a marvelous, beautiful crystal vase and dropped it on a concrete floor. He said, "My life shattered." She said, "I don't know what I feel toward you anymore, but because of your schedule with the basketball team, you've just become a pass-through husband and father, and I don't really know you anymore, and I just feel numb as far as you're concerned. I don't want a divorce. I don't want separation. I don't know what I want, but I just don't love you, and we can't keep going like we are." One might have understood it had he said, "Well, if that's the way you feel about it, then I'm out of here." A lot of husbands would have said that. But he didn't. He contacted people that he knew with spiritual insight and wisdom, and he said, "What do I do?" And they said, "Well, she loved you once. You're going to have to win her love back, and it won't be an easy task." And for over a year, they lived together in the same house, but in separate parts of the house. And he courted his wife. He tried to convince her that she was important in his life. A year it took. Until finally, they were back together again as man and wife, husband and wife. Commitment. Commitment. And I thought when I read the book, that's the end of the story. But in fact, it wasn't. Because a number of years later, I was looking through the Sunday news, and it was either a Mother's Day or a Father's Day. I don't remember which. But I saw, and they one of the features in there on the Parade magazine, or one of those, on the front cover, was the Williams family and their 12 or 14 children. But most of those children were handicapped foreign children that they had adopted. And they were being featured as an ideal family. They had 4 children of their own, but all of the others were ones that they had taken into their home to teach and to instruct and to give them a loving home. Rekindled because of commitment. But what about Boaz? Oh, what a man of character. What a man of commitment. In verse 1 of chapter 2, we're told that his name we know is Boaz, which simply means in whom is strength. Let me suggest that when we're talking about strength for Boaz, we're not talking about him going to the gym frequently. We're not talking about how much he can bench press. We're talking about strength of character. We're told that he was a mighty man of wealth. That's a very interesting word that's used there, that's translated as wealth. It's very rich in its meaning. And its meaning varies a great deal with the context. Its root, as I understand it, carries the idea of force or power. And here, the translators are looking at it as a force or power that's associated with wealth. But I'm not sure that that's the best translation here. When it's translated in the book of Exodus, we find it referring to Pharaoh's army. And the same word is used to refer to that. It's translated in the book of Joshua and Judges as men of valor. In other words, strong men, bold and brave. But here, it's also translated in the book of Ruth as it refers to Ruth. And when Boaz calls her a virtuous woman, he is using the same word. In other words, here is power or force or strength. Now, the question is, what kind of power and force and strength is it? Is it the power of wealth? Is it the power of armies? Or is it the power of character? And I would suggest with Boaz, it is the power of character and virtue. Here was a man who was strong in the Scriptures. He knew exactly what was involved in being a kinsman redeemer. And he was committed to carrying it out. So not only did he know the Old Testament teaching in a time, once again, remember, this is a setting of debauchery in the whole period and history of Israel. But here is a man who knows the Word of God, who knows exactly what has to be done, and who is absolutely committed to doing it. There's no question, but as you read this, he is in love with Ruth. But frankly, he doesn't see a lot of hope because he's a little bit older than she, and he expects that she's going to go after younger men, but that doesn't happen. And afterward now, he realizes that he is a kinsman redeemer, but there is another, he says, that is closer than I. In this period, this time, hey, punt, it's okay. No. In spite of what his heart was telling him, in spite of what he wanted, doing right was more important than getting what he wanted. And so he goes to the kinsman redeemer and says, here is Ruth, and you have to buy the property, and you can do this, and you can take her to wife. In other words, he goes through exactly what the Scripture prescribed ought to be done. And the other person declines. And then he is able to take Ruth as his wife. That's a man of character. That's a man of commitment to the Word of God. And if you're going to have a successful relationship and a successful marriage, there's got to be that kind of character and commitment to the Word of God. He was a man who was concerned about her reputation. And again, she comes to him on the threshing floor, and there was an opportunity there to actually take advantage of her. He doesn't. He is concerned about her reputation and tells her exactly when to leave so that there will be no damage done to her testimony or to his. It's a man of character and a man of commitment. One writer has said there are no more beautiful and virtuous people to be found in Scripture than those two, Ruth and Boaz. I began by telling you a little bit about my experience in class. I want to read something to you at the end. These are not from my classes. One of a professor who has since retired. He taught a class in the Christian family, Christian home. And every year he would ask his students just to write a few paragraphs about their home. And this is a long time ago. You will have no idea. You can tell these pages are yellowed. I heard him use those. In fact, I think it was in the summer school chapel. And I asked him if I could get a copy of it. It was very moving and very powerful. And I want to read to you a couple of statements of what students said. People like you, and some of you no doubt are from situations that could be reflected even here. Here are some of the statements. We have all we need materially, but I'm anxious to marry and begin a Christian home of my own, where it won't be just a place to eat and sleep, but a place of warmth, where there is unity and love between the members. I never want to have a home like the one I was brought up in. Everything I wanted was given to me, except real understanding and love. On the other hand, there were these comments of encouragement, comments that there are some Ruths and Boazes out there. My life at home was something that was as precious as gold. I only wish there could be more homes like mine. I would do nothing to change it, and I only hope and pray that I will establish one just like it. My folks have given me the greatest thing in the world, a Christian home. Ruth and Boaz, two people of commitment and character. And that's what it takes to stand and have a relationship and a successful marriage in a dark, wicked world.
You've been listening to The Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. DeWitt Jones, Chairman Emeritus of the Division of Speech Communication at BJU. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.